The situation in Yudan Shomron, in the Judean Samaria, particularly along the so-called Kav HaTefer, the seam line. What do you make of that situation? There have been recent occurrences of Arabs from the other side of the ridiculous wall, which is what we're discussing now. Why I'm bringing this up? A huge wall was erected years ago, supposedly to keep these people out. Apparently, they just climb over these huge walls, and in places like Bat Khefer, they just appeared and wander around, and who knows what they're up to. And it takes quite some time for the police or someone else to respond. It seems to me that this is all part of intelligence gathering
That's
and
exactly what it is.
checking out response times and what they could achieve if they were to do the same thing with weapons on them, how long it would take to get to a certain point, what they could achieve, or how many Jews they could kill. It seems to me that a rerun of the wholesale massacre and of Jews and the atrocities of only 8 months ago is being prepared in front of our eyes.
Hamas has promised us, and we have to take their promises very seriously, that there will be a replay of October 7th, both within the territories and across the green line, so to speak. They've been shooting at Beit Hefer and in the area for a long time. The army, in its infinite wisdom, instead of beefing up our forces along the seam line, or maintaining the community security squads, has reduced the soldiers, our troops on the seam line, and have actually cut more than half of the community security forces and reduced their
How
weapons.
can you explain that?
Well, how could you explain in the weeks and months leading up to October 7th, that Halevi and Gallant and Finkelman, the commanding officer of the Southern Front, did exactly the same thing along the Gaza seam? They reduced the community security forces, they reduced their equipment, and they left them literally at the peril, in peril
Are
of
they,
the
are you suggesting that they're in collusion with the enemy?
No, I'm just saying that this is an example of their misconception. Now, that might have been okay on October 7th, but now we've all been disabused of who the enemy is and what they're capable of doing. So instead of cutting by 50% the security forces in the communities up and down the seam line, they should have increased them. Instead of having 12 individuals, 12 soldiers, 12 security personnel, or 24 in some cases in a given locale, they've been reduced to less than 10. Some even, you know,
What
it's.
you're saying is eminently logical. The fact that they are doing the opposite once again forces the question: how can this be anything but collusion?
I have to be careful ascribing these actions to collusion. Now, fact of the matter is the end result, God forbid, could be the result of collusion. I can't say. What I can say is what's happening now. And the fact that I can't discount the possibility of collusion is an answer. The fact that I can't say no, it isn't, it's because of X, Y, or Z, clearly suggests there might be something else afoot. Look, I've seen videos now of these guys out of Tul Karim in particular, just walking up and shooting in broad daylight across the seam line at our communities. You know, they could hit buses, they could hit schools. From what I understand from friends of mine who are in undercover units that go through Tul Karim and Qadiyya, yeah, and Jenin. and I've said this before, they've told me this for a long time, they hear Farsi all the time. Farsi.
Farsi, the Persian language.
Persian. So, you know, they're here already. Again, Hamas has been very clear that they intend to have another October 7th, Chas v'Shalom, within the territories and across the seam line. And according to these friends of mine that are in these infiltration units, the things that they've been hearing is that Hamas will not be taking prisoners, hostages. They will be targeting things like schools for a massacre. They're not going to take anybody back because it's too close to the Israeli border, and you know they're afraid that somebody might just finally put the hammer down and start dismantling things. So they're not going to do that, apparently, according to what my friends tell me. They're going to just concentrate on murdering men, women, and children, period. Now, my friends have reported this up the chain. And I've asked them, okay, you've put your lives at risk to obtain this information. What have you heard back? And the answer is nothing. They haven't heard anything back in terms of steps that will be taken to prevent this, or even an evaluation of what they've heard, the credibility of what they've heard. Personally, I feel that now is the time to clear out places like Qalqilia and Tulkarm, clear them out, and then destroy the cities. Clear out, tell them you've got, you know, one day to clear out, go to Ramallah, and then don't go into the cities to fight. Just level them and move the border. This is Area A. Okay. This is under the Oslo Accords, which are dead, by the way. Okay. Cross the border, move the border, declare sovereignty, and that's the end of it. That's the end of it. You do not wait for for an October 7th to happen. I can guarantee you, if we had a general.
Unless, of course, you have some very perverse invested interest in having such a thing happen
Yes, because it would
again.
definitely discredit the Bibi Netanyahu government.
Precisely,
You know?
and it might facilitate in their warped and evil perspective. It might facilitate or act as a catalyst
The
towards
capital
the
crowd.
establishing a Fakestinian state.
Correct. Yair Golan, people like Sheikh Mabrassler, the Brothers in Arms, all these groups would rather burn the country down rather than have Bibi Net. You know, you described it as Bibi Netanyahu, Bibi derangement syndrome. You, okay? Well,
BDS, yes.
BDS, right? Okay. Well, this is what they're thinking. So it's quite possible. That's why I'm not discounting it, that
That
what
there's
they
no
will.
doubt, there's no question. That is the case. That is the fact. These people would
There's
rather
no
the
logical
country cease to
explanation.
exist if they are not in charge of it. If they cannot rule the roost, they are willing for everything to simply burn.
And they've said as much.
And they've proved as much. They haven't just
And
said
they've
it, they've
proved as
proved it.
much. They proved it. So here, I have again written to a lot of friends of mine in media, including editors in chiefs, and said, here's the evidence. If an October 7th happens again and you haven't written anything about this and raised awareness about the need to take remedial action right now to prevent it from occurring, you will have blood on your hands. I haven't gotten an answer from any of them, not one of them.
This
This is
reminds me of the discussion that's been ongoing for quite some time about establishing a Mishmar Leumi, a national guard. Do you have any information as to
well,
where that is, what's happening with that?
yeah, well, if Itamar Ben-Gvir's plan for a National Guard, and by the way, just a full disclosure, I have tried to get it redefined as a territorial defense force. There are reasons for that, which I can go into at some length later, but right now, the difference in nomenclature is very important. But at any rate, if Itamar were allowed to form, who have formed that National Guard, if you will, we wouldn't have this problem along the seam line. Why? Because we would have enough troops, security personnel, to double and triple and sometimes even quadruple the security forces along the seam line. So if you have a place like Beit Hefer, instead of having six or seven people with pistols that are guard trying to guard the place, you'd have 40 or 50 guys in battle kit with battle rifles ready to repel an assault. Okay, where is it going? It's gone nowhere. And why is that? Because the government, especially people like Gallant, have sabotaged it and undermined it at every turn. What has he been doing in the territories? They've been dismantling hilltop positions. They've been dismantling farms.
Precisely. That's why they have no time to deal with the Islamo-Nazis who climb over the wall.
Not at all, because there's two
invade Israeli territory, and tomorrow can do the same thing with arms.
Correct.
And will do the same thing with arms tomorrow, the next day, or next month, or in 2 months.
Well, the territories are flooded with arms. They're flooded with arms. I mean, I've seen some of these events take place in Tulkarm and Tarkilya and Jenin and places like that. Boy, they're really well equipped. There's no lack of
Well, that's thanks to Ehud Barak's brilliant notion of a tzava katan v'chacham, a small and very technologically advanced army. And Gantz,
Gantz
the army, and Eisenkot and all these people, they decided that the army was much too big, and we don't need so many people. So there's almost no one guarding the eastern border. So to get stuff in through Jordan, to smuggle
very easy.
Jordan is actually very simple.
Well, we had a very interesting group called the Desert Frontier Force that was made up actually of a lot of the hilltop guys that I have a lot of respect for, who were trained in the army. And they were as good as, if not better, than Bedouin trackers. And they were accused by the NGOs, leftist NGOs, of being too aggressive, too rough with the local the local Arabs in the territories. And Fox basically disbanded them.
Folks are referring to the general of the Central Command.
Right. And the number of weapon seizures has gone down by 50% since they were disbanded. The numbers that they were collecting were fairly uniform for quite a while because of their, well, let's be explicit, their aggressive interrogation of suspicious Arabs driving vehicles, you know, back and forth from the Jordan River Valley. And now that they were removed, I understand, and maybe even disbanded, the weapons that were confiscated, the numbers have decreased by 50%. Well, what happened to those 50% of the weapons? Well, you know, they're ending up in the hands of the terrorists right now. Thank you, General Fuchs. Thank you very much. And Gallant, all of this was brought to Gallant's attention. I know people in the cabinet that have, not Itamar and not Bitsala, but others who brought this to Gallant's attention and demanded an answer. No answer. Don't tell me. You don't know anything about
the defense military. Minister Gallant is not even a joke. He's worse than a joke.
Worse than a joke.